And then we're going to open up the panel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike, and I'm an addict. First off, I'd like to thank Lori for giving me this opportunity. You know, I couldn't ask to be in a better place right now in my life, in my recovery. And it all goes back to H&I. To me, in my mind, if I could sum up H&I in one word, to me, it would be hope. You know, that's what I see and feel. You know, I remember 7 years ago, my first H&I meeting, my first facility. I went there in handcuffs. I left there in handcuffs. You know, somebody had to physically drag me to get clean because I wasn't stopped. I wasn't going to stop. You know, I was doomed. In my mind, I was doomed. And the first H&I meeting, I remember it distinctly. I don't remember what he said totally, but I do remember the fact that this guy didn't seem like he was full of crap. You know, like everyone else. You know, for the first time in my life, I thought that maybe, like it says somewhere in step two, about that maybe, just maybe I too could recover. And, you know, I made it 3 years my first time. But I remember distinctly every day in treatment, all I looked forward to was the H&I meetings and how blown I was when they didn't show up. And, you know, I furthered my recovery over the years. Being hard-headed like I am, you know, it took me 3 times to get where I'm at now. So I went to 3 different facilities. And even better, you know, I now coordinate 2 of those facilities. And we just added, literally we doubled the amount of meetings in my my area of Tri-County of Southern Maryland. And we actually doubled, we added 16 more meetings just this year. And it's amazing. And they're filled. And they show up most of the time. And the good thing is that I make sure someone gets in there to carry a message. And, you know, if something comes up, most of the people get in touch with me. And I'm willing to go way the hell out of my way to make sure I get there, someone gets there, because I know how it felt to sit in there, look forward to something, and it not happen. You know, that could really, that could send someone back out, seriously. And, you know, I've learned over this period of time, in the last 7 years, that, you know, you can carry a message, but you can't carry the addict. I've heard that before, and it's become obvious to me with sponsees. You know, I have many sponsees, and I have 6 that right now, and it's tough because only 2 of them are really active. But the thing is, I keep contact with them all. You know, like it talks about in our do's and don'ts, you know, there's no favoritism. I don't care. Race, sexual identity, creed, really, whatever it is, everyone's equal to me in there. I feel their pain, you know, I know where they're coming from, I know where they're at. You know, a lot of times, you know, I let them know, you know, obviously you're not here because your life is going well, you know, I mean, and I like to use laughter a lot of times. It really doesn't say anything in our pamphlets about this, but I felt like when someone speaks and they, and you causes you to laugh, that just shows that they're listening. And with me, that's how it was. You know, I listened. If it was entertaining at first, whatever it took to attract me. And I remember if I laughed, I tended to learn more. I tended to listen more, you know. And, you know, I was talking to my sponsor before I came in here. And we talk almost every day. And he was the chairman of H&I in our area for 5 years. His name's Rob C. And he means the world to me. And basically, you know, this time around, I immersed myself. He said, there's no other topic that you could go up there. You're used to speaking a message of recovery in short periods of time. You're immersed in H&I. This is what you do. And he said, you go up there and you do what you do. And that's exactly how I feel. You know, I do what I do. You know, I carry a message of hope and freedom from active addiction. You know, I feel like when I go in there, and when my, you know, my trusted servants go in there, you know, they it's like the school buses with their little beacons on top that flash, except it says hope instead of light. You know, it's hope, hope, hope. And that's the way I feel. You know, hope becomes faith, and hope becomes trust. You know, and with that becomes honesty. And I've learned that integrity is the biggest part of H&I to me. You know, H&I means integrity and commitment. And I'm also the literature chair of H&I in my area. And it's a lot. I work full time, you know, but I always make time. My recovery always comes first these days. You know, in the past, I've put it aside for women. I've put it aside because I didn't want to. I put it aside for a lot of things, and all I've done is I put myself aside. And I don't know what it is, man, but H&I called me. I was 4 months clean, and I just started attending. I started attending the H&I meetings. You know, I wanted to do what my sponsor did. It worked for him. You know what? It probably could work for me. And like my sponsor also said, you know, we're in H&I. We like to talk. So that's, you know, that's what we do. We like to talk, and I love to talk. So couldn't be in a better spot right now. I got to keep checking my clock because I will run it right over. And everybody knows me knows that, you know. I've had to been cut off. You know, I've actually ran a couple meetings over accidentally. And I don't mean to do that. We're supposed to start on time, end on time. But starting on time is the hardest part of facilities, it seems like. Because they always got something going on. Trying to get 30 addicts together at the same time when they're new is not easy. And I don't know. I just know that H&I set something off in me. And like I said, that's what I look forward to. And now that's what I look forward to. I look forward, like right before I got in here, literally at my hotel, 25-30 minutes ago, I got a call from the owner of one of the facilities I coordinate. And I talked to her, and we had to change. It says, you know, we have to coordinate it so we can get in there. You know, we had a time for Saturday at 7 o'clock, and it wasn't working for some people. It wasn't working because they had church at the same time. We were losing attendance, and so I asked her if we could change it to 8, and just like that, sure. Now we got more people we can carry a message to, you know, and, because we were losing half our attendance because of that, and it's a big deal. And you know, I got what it does. It also keeps me plugged in. People call me, they reach out as much as I reach out, so that way people I don't talk to every day that go into the facilities for me, they call me and stuff a lot, and it really. Talk to 10 addicts a day, easy, you know, on a daily basis. And and our area has become overrun with opiate and heroin addiction. And I don't know how many countless funerals I went to last year of people that were at my home group Monday, Dead Tuesday, that I've known for 20-some years. And I went to a funeral Friday, a friend of mine that, you know, he wanted to be clean. But he, you know, he just didn't. I want to say know how. You know, it's just they didn't get it. They didn't get it in time. And without H&I, I don't think I would be here. I really don't. I know I wouldn't be right here. I just don't think I'd be here physically because it didn't matter. You know, in my past, you know, seizures, driving cars upside down, jails, institutions, hospitals, get my ass whipped. It didn't matter what happened. You know, I wouldn't surrender. You know, eventually it just comes to the point I hit a spiritual bottom. I didn't get in trouble when I got clean this time. I just surrendered. And it's a big deal to me. I'm not even sure what time I'm supposed to stop at 3:50. Okay, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, heroin and stuff has really just taken over. And I felt like as soon as I became vice chairman that it was mandatory that there was more meetings going into the facilities in our areas and more information put out, more IPs, more literature, more of everything. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I contacted people, made things happen. And because, you know, I'm outgoing. I don't half-ass anything. So, you know, I was using. There's no way. I'm not half-assing using. So why am I going to half-ass my recovery? No, it's not happening. You know, I jumped in. And you know, it's. I'm just so grateful. I'm actually getting choked up a little bit, you know, because I told my sponsor the other day I didn't feel like I deserved to be up here. But now I feel like I do deserve to be up here. You know, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of where I'm at. I'm okay with myself these days. And 7 years ago, you couldn't have paid me to say I was okay with myself. You know, because I wasn't. I wasn't okay with what I was doing. I wasn't okay with how I lived. I wasn't okay with screwing friends, family, stealing, robbing, whatever it was. You know, mean, the only laws I've broken in the last 20 months is speeding, you know, and stuff like that, seatbelts, occasional text. You know, I found it hard to go to jail when you're clean. You know, it's tough. You really got to try hard. Thank God, because, you know, it does bite me in the butt. You know, our past sometimes bite us in the ass, you know, and I'm trying to get a clearance out of a hospital I'm working at, and they're fighting with my paperwork because of my past, and I don't dwell on it. I'll be okay regardless. But you know, I just know that H&I, what it's done for me, you know, it's saved my life. It really has. And I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I'm going to stick with it. You know, I've become addicted to being in H&I, and I don't see that ending. I see myself staying immersed. And thank you for letting me share.
We thank Mike for sharing. Okay, now starts the panel portion of our workshop. H&I has do's and don'ts, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what we do and how we handle do's and don'ts when we take meetings in. For our first panel speaker, that's going to answer the do's and don'ts, is going to be Richard Dean. Amen.
Anybody have a question or do the dogs? Mike, don't you have a question?
Yeah, I'm going to have one for a certain
point. Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Charles Donat.
Hey, Charles.
I just went to my jeweler, you know, I got a whole bunch of jewelry, you know, and I really want to look really nice, you know, for the presentation. You know, I got about, you know, 10 pieces, you know, 10 really big pieces. You think I should wear maybe 7, you know, should I do, you know, like, three more, you know.
I'm Richard Dean, I'm an addict. I am on the D.C. area H&I subcommittee, and we discourage Mr. T starter kits. It sets a bad example. We are right on the front line. And you go into a treatment facility, they watching us. You know, and that, we think, is not what we want to represent.
That's right.
Hi, Deborah.
And my question is, what are the requirements for joining DC area H&I subcommittee? I mean, how much clean time do I have to become a chair member?
The question was, how much clean time does a person have to become a chair person in the D.C. area H&I subcommittee? First, I'm going to talk about the suggested requirements that the World Service Board gives. And as is stated in the information that we were given, to be a chairperson, I don't think it gives a requirement, but to speak, it's 6 months. DC area, to be a chairperson, you have to have 9 months clean. Do you have one in the back?
Hi, family. My name is Joaquina. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hey, Joaquina.
If I have a family member in a facility where I'm serving as an H&I person, can I still hold that position? Those family members there?
Well, as far as I know, there is nothing in the do's and don'ts that address that issue, but it does tell us to use common sense. And I'm going to speak for me because there's nothing in writing about that. I would just know what my purpose is for going into that facility. It's not to have a visit. it's to carry the message.
Can I get a Jeff? Okay, Mike.
Yeah, my question is, I went into a treatment facility and I smoked Kools, and one of the clients wanted me to give him a cigarette. And is that okay for me to do that?
Definitely. I'm Mike and I'm an addict. You know, I've been confronted with a lot of crazy acts, you know, already. And, you know, one of the facilities I coordinate, smoking is allowed. The other one, it isn't. I don't even take my cigarettes into the one facility, you know, because I only want them to see the outline in my pocket of thinking I have something that other than recovery that they want. And, and I've been asked for cigarettes, and I actually did give a cigarette one time to someone at the smoking facility outside when I was talking with him after the meeting. You know, he seemed very interested, but, you know, I don't recommend giving anything to anyone in there like that. Sets a bad example once again for us. And, yeah, I'm not perfect, but, you know, at the same time, like you said about common sense, I try to use common sense when making any decisions, you know, and, it says in our literature that we're not capable of making good decisions on a consistent basis, and that, you know, that proves itself daily. But at the same time, I know how to set a good example for recovery, and that's just what I go by. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, I'm Gavin.
Hey, Gavin.
Hey, so my ex-girlfriend's in a long-term treatment facility, and she's really looking for a sponsor right now. I sponsor a couple guys. Can I sponsor her? It helps her. She can go to outside meetings by sponsoring, you know?
Wow. Thank you for your question, Gavin. I think everybody knows the answer to that, but it would never work. I've had numerous guys ask me to sponsor them, like, immediately after speaking, and I usually let them know, when you get out, go to meetings. If you want to see me, go to meetings, and we'll talk, and I will sponsor you and help you. But I've just noticed that if you sponsor someone right off the bat, male-wise, and I do point females towards a lot of my female friends. I have a lot of female friends, which is amazing, too. They're just friends, and that's an amazing thing. But I point them toward the females, towards them, and I point people the right direction, and but I have never heard of a male-female sponsorship thing working. It doesn't even sound like a good idea to me. But, that's not a good idea. Thank you. That's all I can come up with on that one.
Yes, ma'am.
There you go.
My name is Don. I'm an advocate. They have on a panel of adults, and it says conducting H&IV or presentation alone. Can you give me your suggestion on that, please?
It's suggested that you don't, that you take a speaker. But what happens if you have a meeting schedule and your speaker doesn't show? I've taken a meeting, you know, brought in the literature, used the literature that we have, and just have a meeting from the literature. You know, sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, because the facilities that I go to, they want the meeting to happen. The clients, they're ready, willing, and able to sit there and participate in the meeting. So, but it's suggested in this literature that you don't do the meeting alone.
Jerry?
Hello, everybody. I'm Jari. I'm from the Nirvana area.
My name's Bradley. I'm a recovering addict.
Bradley.
My question is, I was asked to do an H&I meeting at a facility. Can I take my girlfriend or a sponsee with me?
Okay, so the question is, you are doing the meeting at H&I?
I'm asked to speak.
Oh, okay. It is suggested that you are not to bring another person with you when you go and speak at a meeting. Now, I remember one time I had to ask this one lady to come and share at a meeting, and she brought her daughter. She didn't have a babysitter, and the facility really did not feel comfortable about having her young daughter there. Needless to say, the meeting did go on. One of the counselors did watch the little girl while we had the meeting, but it's not a good idea to bring a friend with you when you're going to go speak. Yeah, it's just you and the person that's chairing that facility.
My name is Tony, and I'm an ad.
And
my question is, the facility has a policy that you have to follow. And our H9 subcommittee has a policy that you have to follow. And they conflict. Which policy do we follow?
Of course the facility, because we're there in their premises, so we have to follow their rules and guidelines.
Okay, Adrian, you want to know?
Oh. I just want to.
I'm in a facility, and one of the residents has asked me to give a letter to someone that's in the fellowship. Am I allowed to give that letter to that person?
I guess you got to restate it, and I guess the question is, are we allowed to pass letters from a resident to somebody outside of the meeting? Is that correct? Well, I'm one of those guys that I keep literature with me all the time. And a part of H&I don't, I'm going to say that, is that we are not allowed to pass letters outside of that meeting. And that is one of our don'ts.
I'm an editor named Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, family. First of all, I'd like to thank the panel coordinators for calling this Freedom from Bondage, because I don't know about anybody else, but I find I'm freedom from myself as a result of my service.
That's
to
right.
Narcotics Anonymous, so thank you very much for the title. But I want to ask, so I've got a good friend. He recently got discharged from a facility, and he's been asking me to get him hooked up so he can take meetings into that same facility. Well, what should he do?
The question is, you have a friend that that was discharged from a facility, and he wants to go into another facility, correct?
The same facility.
The same facility. Well, actually, let me say this. I'm from the Baltimore area, and despite they do have an H&I handbook that actually does things, each area has the autonomy to operate as long as they stand within the parameters of the 12 traditions. And in the Baltimore area, it states that under our rules that you have to be away from that facility for at least 1 year prior to being able to go back in and carry the message of recovery.
I'm rolling on my head. Are you allowed to give your telephone number when asked by some of the clients that is in the treatment facility that you're in? They come up and ask you for a number, or they may come up and ask you responsibly. Are you allowed to do either one of those?
The question is, are we allowed to give out our phone numbers to residents, and if we can become sponsors to them? Once again, you know, you have the H&I handbook and you have the area.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to first check with your local guy to see how you're actually doing that, because we do have a treatment facility where we are authorized to leave our phone numbers up there on the board in case they want to get help once they get out. We don't give addresses. We don't give somebody else's information, but we are able to give our own information to the addict. And the second, it was a two-part question, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sponsorship, I guess once they get out of treatment, you could do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? If you still working with that individual, I would not discourage trying to help a still suffering addict. You know, I try, you know, part of that's what H&I is all about, is to let them know that this program works. So how do you let them know that it works if you're not willing to help them once they get out? So you have to, you know, think about that as well in the process of trying to sponsor somebody once they get out of treatment. Thank you.
My name is Mohammed.
Hey, Mohammed.
You need a clearance to get in, take a message of recovery in a facility?
Is clearance needed to take the H&I meeting in the facility? Some meetings do require clearance. Most of those facilities that require clearance are correctional type institutions. And that clearance comes from providing a social security number, name, those kind of things. Some facilities also do not allow someone to go in that was a former resident of that facility. We don't take people, I tell people, if you have an outstanding warrant or some type of paper, don't give us your name because they will keep you if you go in. Now, can I say a couple of things, Lori? Yeah, I'm going to be real quick because I was jotting a couple of things down. First of all, I'm grateful to be part of the panel here today and part of this particular forum. And the thing about our do's and don'ts, the do's and don'ts are based on our experience as a fellowship over a long period of time. If we don't follow our own experience, what do we have left to follow? We don't give our phone numbers. There's a very good reason why we don't. And this is based on my experience. I've served as a world H&I chairperson. I've served in H&I since I had 90 days clean. And this is based on what has worked following our handbook. And I know there are exceptions to anything, but I tell you, if we don't follow our own experience, then we're going to be the ones losing out, and we're going to be shortchanging those people that we're trying to carry our message to. The question about the facility having a rule and following the facility or our own rule, here's the thing. As long as that facility's rule does not compromise our traditions, because we can say, yes, we're going to follow their rules, and that rule compromises our own traditions. And we don't negotiate. Our traditions are non-negotiable. And that's in that negotiating and working with the facility. It's not that important to be in the facility if it compromises our own traditions. So, Mike.
Hi, I'm Nancy, and I'm grateful to be coming at it.
Nancy.
And my question is, going into the women's prison, and I'm sitting on a panel, and I want to take inmates out to meetings also. Is that a conflict of interest, and why?
You're sitting on a panel at a facility, and you're also on your own time going over to the facility, picking up women, taking them out to meetings. Now, someone mentioned earlier using common sense and also being clear about your motives, and also being clear to the residents in the facility that your role in coming over, picking them up, has nothing to do with H&I. And then when you're going in as an H&I member, if they're not clear about that, see, it's not the facility's role to observe our traditions. It's our own role. And we have to make it clear to those facilities that we're not affiliated with the facilities. You, Nancy, as an NA member going over to Jones Treatment Center, that's you doing that. That's you. That's not Narcotics Anonymous. But when you go back into that facility as an H&I member, then that is NA. And that is not Nancy as the individual. And I'm glad you also mentioned using the panel system, because one of the other things was about doing the meeting alone. The most effective way we have in delivering H&I services is through a panel system. And here's why. It's because we get a chance to demonstrate the diversity of our fellowship. And we get a chance to paint a picture when we take men, women, young, white, black, old. We take a diversity of members out to that panel. The other thing is, And when we have 3 to 4 people going out to the facility, the chances of all 3 of them calling in and saying, I'm not going to show up, are less likely. And so you won't be stuck at the facility trying to carry that meeting by yourself. Because at least 1 or 2 of those people will show up. If you invite 3, at least 2 will be there.
I'm going to add another thing. Just to piggyback also on what you were saying, H&I meetings are meetings that we take in to folks who cannot come out.
That's right.
And if the folks can come out, that's not an H&I meeting.
I'm family Catherine Adams. My question is, I'm in a residential treatment facility. One of the residents asked me to leave his anniversary. Am I doing service or is it a conflict of interest?
One of the residents, so let's make, what's your name again?
My name is Kathy.
Okay, Kathy. Let's make sure we understand what you're asking. We carry a meeting into a facility. One of the residents at that facility asked you to lead their anniversary. Lead their anniversary where?
At an meeting.
And there, so I'm unclear about this. This is a patient.
Okay, he makes meetings. He's a resident there. And he actually leave his anniversary.
And so this is a facility that we go into that they actually go out to meetings.
They make meetings.
And so he has a meeting that he goes outside to, and he wants you to come be a part of that anniversary celebration.
Well, I've made that meeting a couple of times as well.
Okay, so let me ask you, why wouldn't you go?
No, I was just asking, would it be a conflict of interest or would it be doing service as well?
Well, it's certainly not a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Let's clear that up right away. Because that's an NA meeting, has nothing to do with that H&I meeting in that facility.
Okay.
So, a conflict, and the other part of that was, you had 2 parts to that? Okay, all right. Did that answer that, Catherine? All right, thank you. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm an addict. My name is Tamika. First question.
My name is Mary P. and I'm an addict.
I'm Mary.
I was asked to come and speak at an H&I facility from an H&I person who goes. And I was wondering, is there requirements for what you should speak on or
Absolutely.
What you should say when you get there or mm-hmm. the topic of discussion or something when you're speaking to the people in facilities?
Yes, it is. That's a very good question, Mary. In my personal experience, I arrived to the H&I meeting early, preferably 15 to 30 minutes early, so I can prep the person and let them know that this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We don't use profanity. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about specific drugs that we use. We don't talk about where we were, what our connections were, or any of that. So that way they're crystal clear on what it is that we're doing there and why we're there. Thank you.
Family Joaquin is still great for recovery.
Hey, Joaquin.
In some of the facilities, some of the residents had sheets that they have to sign that dictate different sessions that they go to.
Mm-hmm.
If they give me one of those sheets, am I allowed to sign it?
That's a very good question, too. No, we do not sign any sheets. Okay. We got a question right here, Mike. Come on. Pass the mic.
Excuse me. I'm Nancy again.
Hi,
Can
Nancy.
Can you explain to me the difference between a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and an H&I presentation?
Oh, okay. I haven't done that personally, but Richard Dean, come on. Thank you.
I'm Richard Dean. I'm an addict. And Tamika is one of our D.C. area members, and she's new, very diligent in her work. Yes, she is. Now, as far as the wording, the presentation, in the handbook, the presentation, I think it means the presentation that you do to the facility. And sometimes I think it means the meeting they call the presentation a meeting. But if you're talking about the presentation where you go to the facility, no, you're talking about, okay, the difference between an H&I meeting and a regular NA meeting is that an H&I meeting is not open to the public.
That's right.
You have to be invited to come and share your experience, strength, and hope at an H&I meeting. A regular NA meeting, anybody can come. Okay, and that's the difference.
Okay, baby.
Thank you. All right.
Margaret
Addy.
Hey, Margaret.
I arrived to an H&I meeting, and two speakers showed up, myself and another brother. But the H&I person representative wasn't able to make it. The clients were ready for a meeting. The speakers were there, but the H&I representative wasn't there. Should the meeting have gone on?
No. My name is Tamika and I'm an addict. That's a very good question. I've never experienced that, but no, the meeting is not supposed to go on. Based on the local guide to service? The H&I handbook. Yes, the H&I handbook. To my understanding, there isn't supposed to be a meeting as long as the actual H&I person, chairperson, doesn't show up.
I'm lucky and I have the disease of addiction.
Hey, Lucky.
Thank you for sharing. How much leeway does a panel H&I member have in running the meeting that he's assigned to? I'm saying that because we've got a variance of people coming into the meeting and then back out, signing the list, and then going back out, or they're trying to catch me or the panel leader at the end of the meeting to have their name signed on. In other words, how much leeway do we have in bringing the meeting in to the facility in terms of
No.
As a family member that takes a meeting to a facility, how much leeway does he have with people coming in and out, people coming at the end wanting to get their purpose signed? Mm-hmm. You know, like, does he have any control over him as a panel member at a facility?
No. No, he doesn't have any control over whether or not if people come in and out of the meeting or anything like that. Basically, what our purpose is to start on time and end on time, and whoever shows up, that's who shows up. And furthermore, we don't sign any sheets anyway, so, I mean, that's not a part of what we do. Right back here, it's a...
I'm
Deborah. Deborah.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. my question comes from the do part of the H&I guide, and it says to conduct orientation and or training sessions for all members involved in H&I service. Can you explain that to me, please?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, when I was doing my panels to become an H&I panel chairperson for any facility, the people that I paneled with, they basically guided me in what it is that I'm supposed to do, what my purpose is for being there, and things of that nature. And then on a personal note, I was able to meet the speaker once I was able to take a meeting into a particular facility. And when I actually meet the speaker there 20 or 30 minutes early, you know,
I just explain what it is that we do, why it is that we're there, and how to conduct myself and what the actual speaker is purpose is being there. I hope I answered the question.
I think we want to add something to that.
Okay. Come on up here.
So, an orientation is a good opportunity for newer members to get general information before they start going out to the H&I meeting. I live in Frederick, our Frederick area, and the area that I used to live in, we created an orientation booklet for our members. Everyone that wants to get involved with H&I comes to the orientation 45 minutes before the regular H&I meeting. We take them through a quick orientation, the do's and don'ts, why they go, all those kind of things. And then their name goes on a volunteer list. And this is why we do that. It's because we want to carry a clear, consistent message. And if everyone is singing from the same sheet of music, then that will help us be consistent in what we're doing. And it also gives people an eye. H&I is not for everybody. I'm an H&I soldier. H&I is not for everyone. There's a lot of ways to do service in NA. And so by going through that orientation and people get an idea of what to expect, they get a chance to make the decision on whether they want to be a part of H&I or not. And then if they do, their name goes on the volunteer list, and that's the list of the people that I invite to the meeting. It comes from the volunteer list. And the reason that you have presentation slash meeting in the handbook, when the handbook was first written, presentation and meeting was, the words were used interchangeably. That's the way it's like that. The reason that presentation is there is because the only reason we're there is to give people a basic introduction to Narcotics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. The meeting part of that presentation slash meeting is for those meetings that we carry into the prison that are long term. Yeah. That's more than a presentation. That's a meeting. That's an H&I meeting because those guys are there for a long, long time. The treatment center people are usually in and out. So I hope that answered that.
Thank you. Okay.
If there is an altercation in the facility between residents, should I, as the H&I panel leader, try to remedy or mediate the situation, or should I immediately alert staff?
Alert staff. Keep it simple.
My name is Tony Hamadic. And I would like to know, I heard people talk about presentation. If I'm a panel member and I'm taking a meeting to a facility, and you know, someone comes up to me and says, hey, can you bring a meeting to another facility? And I like the way you've been, is that, and if I do that, and they, you know, is that an H&I meeting, or is it kind of like a, you know, do I take that back to the committee for a presentation? That's the kind of presentation that I'm familiar with. Or do I just take that meeting and, you know, bring speakers over there myself?
Okay, the question is, if an H&I meeting is requested, should I just do it myself or refer that to an H&I subcommittee? Some people might do it themselves, but the proper way would be to refer that to an H&I subcommittee, to have them submit a request on their facility's letterhead stating what they wanted, what type of meeting, what time, what date, and the contact person's name and phone number so that we can contact them to do what we call a presentation. Okay.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a female, and I'm asked to take a meeting into a male facility. Can I do that?
Okay. You're female and you were asked to bring a meeting to a male's facility. Depending on what the policy states for your subcommittee and the policy of the facility would determine the answer to that. With our area, what we do is, if we have a male facility that requests a meeting, then we would accommodate them with a male. If a male should happen to drop off and stop taking the meeting, then a female can cover that meeting for 3 months only.
Okay, I've been asked to go to this meeting by the chairperson, mm-hmm. who is a male, in a male facility. Mm-hmm. There is no policy that says that I can't go.
Are you going to speak?
Yes, I've been asked to chair by a male.
Oh yeah, that's with our committee, that's okay. I've chaired a male meeting. I've chaired a meeting in Lorton.
Tell me, guys, what's the amount of time, if I'm chairing an H&I meeting, for let's say 2 years, something happens in my life where I'm not able to chair this H&I meeting anymore, what's the length of time that a chairperson has to be retrained in order to go back to be
Let me understand what you're saying. You once took an H&I meeting, and you took that meeting for about 2 years. And because of something in your life happened and you had to stop, you're coming back.
Right.
Okay. For DC area, what happens when you come back, you have to do 2 consecutive business meetings and 4 months of paneling. Meaning, that's how we train. We train you by you going on panels with people and you watch what they do to see how you would facilitate the meeting. And after that, you would come back to the subcommittee and then you would volunteer for that meeting.
Is there a time frame? 2 months I would have to go back?
You have to come to two consecutive meetings, so that's 2 months. And if you did your 4 panels within those 2 months, then yes.
I thank you, but if I'm out for a month, would I have to do that if I'm out for a week?
If you miss 3 business meetings in a row, you're out. Can I say something before we go on?
Okay,
I just wanted to say that this gentleman from Baltimore, he really hit something when he talked about each area having their own policy. And that is so good, because what worked for one area may not work for another. DC area's H&I is in dire need of support. We don't have people to do three people panels. I remember we used to could do 5 people panels. We can't do that anymore, you know. And the thing about the phone number, it's suggested in the World Service Guide, yeah, that you do not give phone numbers. But I know some women that come out of Lorton that they were given a phone number. Now, when you come out of Lorton, you ain't gonna come back with your suit on. You're going to come back with your jumpsuit on. They're going to drop you off at the jail. But they had a phone number. One of them just, she'll be had 21 years clean shortly. You know. Now, so that worked for our area. That might not work for another area. But that is, we all are H&I, but because we do different in each area don't mean that we can't have some unity. Thank you.
Hold it in.
Hi, my name is Renata. The question is, I don't know if you mentioned it. I just wanted to know, what is the
amount of clean time the panel participant goes to the council, how much clean time do they need? And how often, I mean, say like if I had a line and I just wrote there, what is it, how many times have the last in between? I don't know if somebody asked the question. I hear a lot of this stuff going on. And how often can that person go back into that facility? Is it like a personal decision or is it a policy?
Okay, so basically you're saying that how much time do you need to become involved, be on the panel for H&I, and if you miss a commitment, I guess you say miss a commitment, no?
No, I'm saying how many times can you go back? How many times can you go back into that facility?
Yeah.
How many times can the leader take you back into that facility? Do it have to be like within 3 months period time that passed? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I sort of do. With us, all our commitments are monthly. We have one person to fill one day per month per facility. Mm-hmm. That's how we do it, you know, because we have enough people to fill those. We don't have to keep repeating the same people. Thank God we do, you know. Makes it easier for people to get to those commitments because they only have to worry about that one day a month, you know, instead of a lot of people are overloaded as it is with life. But, we have our H&I business meeting at the fourth Monday of every month, and I've been going I haven't missed one in the last 18 months. And we require people to come to those twice a year, at least. That's what it says in our handbook, twice a year, I believe. And to stay informed and keep up with us on what our purpose is, like they were saying. And if they don't, you know, and if they start missing commitments and stuff, we will switch them out. You know, we'll nicely ask them, you know, they have to step down, because we take it really seriously. Like, I know a lot of y'all do. I know, and to me it's really serious. And I really don't know if that answered your question, because I am pretty new at being the vice chairman of our area. It's new, but I'm learning and I'm teachable, and you know, I want to be there for a while. So I'm here gaining knowledge as this is going on. And y'all are helping me a lot.
I think your question. Okay. But let me say this. Just in light of what you was, some that I believe you said. If I took a person in to do a meeting, how many times can they come back before they are not allowed to come? Thank you. It's not written that saying that they can't come back every time that you bring, but you want to be able to bring different folks instead of the same person. But it's nothing meant in saying that, okay, you go one at a time, you can't go back for 30 days, you can't go back for 60 days, you can't go back for 90 days. Right. You can take them every week whatever your commitment is, if you want to, but it's good to have different folks with different messages.
Thank you, Mike, for clarifying that. I understand that. Yeah, and it's a good thing is that the treatment facilities rotate people. You know, obviously 21, 28 days, 14 days, whatever it is. So it's rare I get to go in there, and if I take the same person, they don't hear the same thing, you know, which is a good thing. But a couple of facilities, I don't know if this is like that in all y'all's areas, but a couple of our facilities allow long-term patients to come in. They can't go to meetings every night, so we have meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When they're not allowed to go, we take them in to them. And so I do get to know people over a 90-day period, sometimes maybe 4 months. And I actually like that. It's good. You build a rapport with a person, and you get to see them come to meetings after they leave that facility. And one of my sponsees I met in that way, and he's doing really well. But thank you.
Okay, well, if there's no more questions, I'd just like to thank the panel. I'd just like to thank everyone out there for your participation.